Another Ohio State game week is upon us, and it's the final non-conference game week.
That's crazy.
If you can believe that. But it's a Tuesday. Ryan Day is going to talk in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. And if it is Tuesday and he's here, it's a Talking Tuesday. That is 10 TVs, television's Adam King. He blew me off on Saturday at the Horseshoe, but he can't escape me today as we prepare for the Buckeyes and Bobcats, Ohio, on Saturday night in primetime.
There is nothing more frustrating for me than when my job of anchoring sports gets in the way of the notebook. But I did have to go back at halftime, do the scoreboard, and then stay back to anchor sports, which I want to personally apologize on this video to Austin,
Thank
to Berm,
you.
To Mick, who is probably running the camera again
because he was.
Berm can't walk right now. Just all of you. I would like to apologize.
On behalf of America, I accept.
Thank you.
Now we can
We're all counting on you.
We can all move forward and we can get ready with some questions that we have for Ryan Day. He will speak at noon in the team room. And I just can't believe, like, it seems like it's going too fast.
It's crazy.
The third non-conference game, the last non-conference game, then you have the off week after that. The Buckeyes looking to run this race of improvement. And I wonder where your thoughts are about what the Buckeyes need to get accomplished and what Ryan Day thinks they need to get accomplished on Saturday.
I think the first question, it's very simple, and it's kind of a stereotypical question that you get a coach, but I am curious how much they are preparing for this game like it's a conference game or like it's, you know, this is not Grambling State. This is not a game that you can take lightly. There's probably an argument to be made that this OU team could beat a couple teams in the Big Ten. And so,
well, they did just beat a Power Four team.
They did. They just beat West Virginia. That was at home. So the one thing is, how are you guys treating this game when it comes to, I always feel like a coach has a number in his mind of, we're trying to win this game versus focus on ourselves. Where does that sit in there? Grambling was all about themselves. We want to go
on a scale of Grambling to Texas.
Exactly. On a scale of Grambling to Texas. Where in there, you know, are you focusing on OU versus focusing on what can we learn from this game? What can we grow from this game? And I know what he's going to say. He's going to say, we always focus on ourselves. But actually, if I like to use Talking Tuesday as if I could get a lie detector around the day. How focused in on the Bobcats are you? And they rightfully show they should be. I made a comment earlier that when you look at a game like this, I think every game has to be treated like Grambling with the goal of winning 70 to nothing. But
the standard is the standard.
But as the games go on, the score is going to shrink. But every game you have to treat it with that mindset of the expectation is 70 to nothing. So now is the expectation 55 to 7? Then at Washington, is the expectation, you know, people are worried about that game, but we'll get there. You know, as it drops and the competition gets tougher, that expectation is going to drop, mm-hmm. that score, but the expectation can't change. And so I'm very excited to see. I'm excited for this. It's an interesting, odd. It's an odd non-conference game because it's not the magnitude of Texas. It's not even the magnitude of a Power 14, but it's right. about as high as you can find from a non-Power 14. Maybe because it's down the road.
Well, and because you know how much it'll mean to Ohio.
Yes,
and by the
exactly.
way, they won the MAC a year ago, and sometimes at that level, that means you're going to have to replace a coach and some players. Like they're not the exact same roster that they were a year ago, but they gave Rutgers a real test in week one. Then they beat West Virginia in week two. And then if you're adding on top of that, like this, you know, I know it's a cliche, but it will be for a lot of maybe Ohio-born players who are playing for the Bobcats, this is their Super Bowl, their opportunity to go to the mm-hmm. Horseshoe. Like, they are accomplished already, and it'll mean a lot to them to come in there and play. So you're going to get their best shot. That also is a cliche. It almost goes without saying. When you're Ohio State, mm-hmm. you're getting everyone's best shot every single week. But like Ohio is not going to come in here and roll over for Ohio State. So you know they have accomplished enough that you have to take that seriously. And it can't be treated just like Grambling, although I would say I think they did a great job of going through Tuesday practice, Wednesday practice, like, and showing up and the starters being like, you know what, we'd like to be done early so the backups can play. I think they checked all those boxes last week. But, I mean, it's a good point because the preparation level, they took that seriously against themselves last week. But do you have to put in, is Matt Patricia putting in specific wrinkles for Ohio?
Exactly.
Like,
yes.
How much of that are you going to need to do this
week?
Are
you game planning for Ohio?
Yeah, that's a great question. And they'll say yes.
Yes. But actually, with that said, getting more in the weeds now with questions, because there's your TV guy question. Then, you know, how important is this game to you guys?
What is the message for Buckeye Nation?
There you go. I want to know how you work some of these guys on the field that are proving day in and day out that they deserve to be on the field when you already have such a, I'm focusing on defense right now, like a Riley Pettijohn.
I wish I could have wagered in real time about what name you were going to say.
Yeah. And like Riley Pettijohn proved in one half of football that he deserves to be on the field. The only problem for Riley Pettijohn, he's behind Arvell Reese, Sonny Styles, and Peyton Pierce. That's three guys. Right now, it really seems like Ohio State's playing a lot of two linebacker out there. So you're really talking about, are you taking Arvell Reese off the field to get Riley Pettijohn on the field? Are you taking Sonny Styles off the field? Probably not.
No.
So how do you use him? Like, it's such a cornerback you can rotate. You can get Devin Sanchez in. We saw 12 snaps against Texas. We saw a lot more against Grambling, obviously. But with a position, like, a linebacker is such a hard position to roll. You've got your guys, especially when they're playing at that level. Riley Pettijohn needs to have a part in this defense, but I just don't know how you do it. So my question to Ryan Day is, how? What do you do here? Can you play 12 men?
No, they shouldn't do that.
Okay.
And I think there's an operative word in there that you mentioned. Need. Like, there isn't currently a need for Riley Pettijohn to play. He deserves to play. He's good enough to play. But the need, because of what you mentioned with Peyton Pierce, Arvell Reese, and Sonny Styles, doesn't technically exist. And I hope for Ohio State's sake that that doesn't change for them.
I agree.
But that's the way that they're going to have to view it. Now, James Laurinaitis and Ryan Day had said, well, and Matt Patricia, like, there's four game-ready linebackers. And they didn't name them. But we now know, that's Riley Pettijohn, like, without question. Mm-hmm. It was publicly on display. But there are ways that they can use Riley Pettijohn that maybe wouldn't necessarily mean that you have to take Sonny or Arvell off the field. And we'll see what they do. I think that's the creative part with Matt Patricia. And,
you know, but then do you worry that he's got to pass over Peyton Pierce?
Well, I don't know. I'm not even necessarily talking about rotationally. I think Zach Boren brought this up on Monday's episode of The Beat, where, like, maybe you start to see some things that are...
I should watch that show.
It's very good. You know, if you've never seen an episode of The Beat, which I thought that you had, I know that you love to read the comments.
Only the comments.
Only on Tuesdays. Mm-hmm. But we actually do this show Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday as well.
I don't think that's accurate.
But he was, you know, spitballing this idea that with what Matt Patricia, what he can lean on from his past, you know, maybe there'd be 3-4 looks and then Riley Pettijohn's involved. Maybe there's 2-4 looks and they continue to rush the passer with Pettijohn or Arvell Reese or Sonny or whoever. Like, I don't think that there's any limit to the creativity with Matt Patricia, and there may not be a limit to the potential for Riley Pettijohn to go execute that either. So we'll see what that means. In terms of changing the top of the depth chart, like, that need doesn't exist. But maybe they actually do feel like they need Riley Pettijohn to play given his athleticism. That's, I think, going to be an interesting dynamic coming out of that first extended look at what he could do on Saturday, which was awesome.
It was amazing. It was more than you could ever have imagined.
I can imagine a lot.
I don't know that I could have imagined the first defensive touchdown going
for a forced fumble, a fumble recovery, a touchdown, a pass breakup, a tackle on your first play.
That's pretty good.
You're right. I didn't imagine that.
Yeah. The other thing that that is interesting, and not just talking to Ryan Day, but I do think Devin Sanchez has found his place in this defense. I think he's proven that he will be week in and week out. This is your last chance until you get into some of those blowouts in the Big Ten to get guys in. This is it. And so I would ask kind of all of the coaches, does that incentivize you on Saturday to go try to make this game 35-0 early? Because I think Ryan Day is perfectly fine controlling a football game and finding a way to win. But at the end of the day, you can't. Hey, that's one. Dang. Probably already said it like twice. Three times. Ryan Day.
Don't be afraid to say it. All right?
I'm afraid. I'm very afraid. You can only play those guys when the game is in hand. When you go to Washington.
At the end of the game.
One of my favorite comments from the last week, and I'll say it. It said, at the end of the day ends. What a wise philosopher for Adam King. And that's, I mean, at the end of the day ends. That's all I can say.
That's true.
You can only put those guys in the game if it's a blowout. But you also don't want to force things. You don't want to go into a game saying, we got to get up. You set the tone last week. Julian Sain didn't play the second half. Caleb Downs didn't play the second half. So do you go into this mindset thinking, we've got to let it rip so that we can get those second guys in? Because at Washington, you don't know if that's going to happen. At Wisconsin, They probably is not going to happen. At Illinois, it's probably not going to happen. I mean, you've got to get these guys the reps while you can, because Ryan, one of Brian Day's favorite things to say, and he's right, is this is, could be a 16-game season. So how do you approach the mindset of this game as opposed to winning to, we got to attack?
Yeah, well, I think that we saw how they managed that last week, and it wasn't the first time, and it won't be the last time, the way that this coaching staff with Ryan Day at the top, what they elect to do. Because some of the speculation that we had last week, Adam, was, all right, are these guys going to get involved in the first quarter? Are they going to start rotating immediately? And in certain positions, you're seeing that. In others, you're not. So there's not a hard and fast approach to it. But by and large, it was, okay, starters, it will be up to you when the backups can come in the game. Can you handle your business quickly, efficiently, productively? And then you can then pass the baton, take the pads off, and watch Zion Grady go rush the passer and celebrate with him on the sideline, which Kenyatta Jackson and Caden Curry were like, thrilled to do that. So that part was really cool. But that's the, I think that's an interesting dynamic, because so many times you hear, well, you want them to have high leverage snaps. It'd be better for the backups if you like mix them in there with the starters, and then you got a better feel for what they could accomplish. I don't know that there's a right or wrong approach. I guess I appreciate the way that Ohio State did it on Saturday against Grambling, which was, here's the challenge for the starters. Mm-hmm. Can you be serious? Can you make it about us? Can you do these things? And then you can just take the rest of the day off. Like, there wasn't any messing around at that point.
No.
The score got way out of hand, and then you did. You get the entire third quarter. You get the fourth quarter off. So everyone's going to do that differently. But I think that really worked last week. I wouldn't imagine that they're going to change that up dramatically against Ohio either. But also, this is going to be a much more competitive outing. I believe that, just based on what we've seen from them already.
Well, then that turns the other side of what is enough in hand to take those guys out. And you make a very good point there. I think it's the first you've ever made.
Yes, that's one.
Which is, do you give them, that's the one, do you give them the high leverage snaps in this game, thinking that there's a world where you have to have Julian Sain play at least the third quarter, at the start of the third quarter.
Yeah.
So do you get them in and intermingle them, assuming that this game is not going to be 42-0 with 13 minutes to go in the third quarter.
Yeah. It
could be. It very well could be. One thing that I feel like no one is talking about with that Grambling State game is we've seen Ohio State games not go that way against lesser opponents.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of times where you're sitting there, you're like, okay, it's the end of the first quarter. They're on the 2-yard line, but somehow it's still 0-0. Like, okay, they score. Okay, we're going to half 21-0. Boy, okay. Well, we're all going to go mow the lawn.
Yeah, but we know they're with it.
Yeah. They did not waste any time. And I loved that. It looked like their challenge was get in there, beat this team, and then let's go put the rest of the guys in.
Yeah.
So do you take that same mindset, which is going to be much tougher against the Bobcats? And then...
And I think that they might, Adam, sorry to interrupt, but like,
no, because you're allowed. It's your show.
On the heels of the Bobcats beating West Virginia, like having that Power Four game, and then what they did against Rutgers and pushing that one into the second half, deep into the second half, a Big Ten opponent. Now, not the best team in the Big Ten, but those games will get their attention. So I think that I mentioned this a week ago, where what I liked by Wednesday, when Ryan Day was really leaning into about us and, you know, not calling it a talent equated game and not going like full Lou Holtz on that. It was like, you would risk...
Never go full Lou Holtz.
You don't want to do that. You would risk the credibility of the coaching staff and the voice in the locker room if you're like, this could be four quarters. Like, that was never going to be the case for Grambling. You have a chance to walk that line a little bit differently this week. We see, look what this team is capable of. They've been in big games before. They won a conference championship. They just beat West Virginia. This is not a game where you're trying to... Like, you can set up your teammate for the third quarter. Like, I think you can... Maybe in the back of their mind, be like, okay, what's our contingency plan? Mm-hmm. What's the number, as you mentioned, that you feel comfortable pulling them back? But I think you can coach Ohio State maybe a little bit harder this week. Those games will get their attention. And then you know you have the off week after that. And you're running out of opportunities, as you mentioned. Washington is on the other side of that off date. The Big Ten slate, 9 straight in 10 weeks. So you have to make the most of it this week.
You got me excited there about this game, because I think you're right. I think it's the perfect balance of... It's another game where you're not going in. I say this, somebody's going to clip it out. You're not going to lose this game. I mean, unless things go haywire.
They're 33.5-point
favorites. Yes, there you go. But you're not going into this game knowing you're going to win 70-0. So it's an interesting it's an interesting comparison of talent here. My other question for Ryan Day, and I am just so excited to talk to him about this at some point. I don't know if it comes after this season. I don't know if it comes in the offseason. I don't know if it comes on a Talking Tuesday in today's press conference. But
I hope it does.
He is a different coach. He's always been a great coach. Some people lost sight of that and then came back around. But he, did you see him coaching at the end of the fourth quarter?
I sure did.
That was like,
and I saw who he was coaching specifically. So
I loved it. And it's such a good point. You say who he's coaching. He's coaching Bo Jackson because there's a world where Bo Jackson is going to have the ball going down the sidelines there at the end of a game that matters. And you say, keep that ball tucked away. We'd rather have the ball on the 1 yard line than maybe a touchdown than a fumble out of the back of the end zone. You look at the way that he was so frustrated about that extra point, because that's still your first team. You're not sending backups in there. And so I loved it. If you haven't seen it, it's Ryan looking like they were lost a game. Like when he took off the headset, he was frustrated, shaking his head. He's talking to Bo Jackson. He's upset about too many men on the line of scrimmage. It's great. Too many men in the backfield. It's great. And there's something that has changed with Ryan Day. He's always been an amazing coach. I don't know if it's the moment that he raised the trophy. I don't know if it's the moment that the skull session against Tennessee where he realized his back's against the wall, this whole team's back's against the wall.
Yep.
But that man is on a different energy. And I absolutely love it. He already coaches like an elite coach in college football that's been doing it for decades, which is remarkable to see. And I guess my question for him would be, when do you allow yourself to take a deep breath in a game? And do you not? And do like...
He didn't on Saturday.
He did not.
And up so, by 70 for 63.
Up by 70. And he's like, how much do you think, more importantly than when do you take a deep breath, how much do you think your guys see that and appreciate that? Because I can imagine if I'm a player and I see my coaches fired up. I mean, I don't know how many, if you've seen the Nick Saban thing where it's cut, you got to run cut. It's cut, what are we doing? And he's yelling, like that makes you respect a guy. That makes you say, I want to play for that guy.
Yeah.
He does not give up. I don't even know if I can form that into a question. I think Ryan would say, sir, you've talked for a minute and a half. We're going to need.
Was there a question in there?
Yeah, exactly. But I just wanted to say, well done. I loved every minute of that.
But and I think because of the natural progression from there would be who he was talking to specifically and how much stock you put into the 9 carries, the 1 fumble, the balance between the two, because it felt like, and maybe I'm wrong about this. Maybe Carlos Lockwood.
Maybe you're right about it.
I could be. It's a coin flip.
There you go.
And maybe we'll get to the bottom of it on a Talking Tuesday in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. But like, was it because it was Bo Jackson specifically that was the urgency and the intensity of that message about protecting the football? Would it have been the same if it was Sam Dixon or Isaiah West or a walk-on or anybody? I suspect that it wouldn't be.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm just wish casting it out there because I'd like to see Bo Jackson in some higher leverage situations. I feel like Carlos Lachlan and Ryan Day want that too. Mm-hmm. And that's why that coaching at the end of the game and that point about you have the program in your hands, mm-hmm. you need to protect it. Like, I think that was delivered to at a different level because they want him to be involved. And whether that's a need at this point, I don't know. We've talked about the running game now for the first couple of weeks and CJ Donaldson and James Peoples, and has it popped the way that Ohio State wants? It didn't against Texas. Texas is really good. Grambling, they put up a bunch of yards and it looked a lot easier. That's not going to be the same barometer.
This will be a good barometer against OU.
I think this is going to be a better one. And I think that they're basically saying to Bo Jackson, if you'd like to be involved against the Bobcats next Saturday night, that can't happen.
You got
to
tuck that rock.
That's got to be 3 points of pressure.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we're going to get to that. We're definitely going to talk about Bo Jackson.
Do you think that Bo Jackson then took video of Derrick Henry and said, see,
everybody's
human, okay?
Well, that's just being intimidated by the fact that Josh Allen merely exists.
Yes,
I think everybody knows
100%.
That. So go pokes on that. But I mean, we're going to talk about Bo Jackson. We have to. Because last week, the whole thing was, you said stuff on Julian Sands, more plate, you know, let him load it up and throw. They did that. And now, is this going to be
and
the
emphasis? And he threw a no-hitter.
I don't know.
He didn't throw a perfect game.
He did throw a perfect game.
He threw a no-hitter.
He did plunk a batter. But the passing attack, it sparked right to life. Like, I think we all thought it would. I think maybe there's still just an ounce of skepticism that you could have about the rushing attack. And would Bo Jackson magically fix that? I don't know. I think the offensive line is playing pretty well. I think it's a possibility. I'd like to see it, is what I'm saying.
I think the way they talked about Bo Jackson all offseason, they understand a game like this could be the pivotal point where you start to have three running backs and weave them in. Boy, they sat C.J. Donaldson down after that fumble. They did not. That was a lesson learned right there. That's what you wanted against Grambling, though, is learning lessons. You want the interception against Grambling. You want the fumbles against Grambling because you'll be okay 70-0 in those regards.
You'll want them, but you can maybe you can live with it.
You'd rather have it in that game than you would on the road at Washington. I was very impressed with Bo Jackson. I think we've all been very, very impressed.
Dating back to spring.
Quick last question here. When do you get worried, Ryan, about the running game? Is there ever a point in this season where if it doesn't take that next step, you will be worried? Or is this where I don't know that we had a barometer of where it was supposed to be right now. But I don't have alarm bells going off.
Yeah, I don't either. Because of, as I mentioned, Texas is one of the best defenses in the country. They didn't even attack. They had a specific game plan, both for the running game and the passing attack in that game, and then protecting the defense. Like, we didn't see any of the perimeter runs. Like, they came out early and did the sort of end-around fly, you know, jet sweep with Brandon Ennis. Like, they didn't attack Texas in any way to the edge. Now, that may be a reflection of Texas's team speed and athleticism and tackling ability, and that would be fine. I would understand that. But that wasn't the full playbook for Ohio State. And I think that this offensive line is more than capable of doing that. And I think there's enough skill talent, whether that's Ennis, whether that's Jeremiah, whether that's incorporating Bo Jackson off the bench. C.J. Donaldson, I think, has done some really good things. James Peoples was more explosive against Grambling. I mean, you have to take them out. Like, they're two opposite extremes. Ohio State could do whatever it wanted on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And it was more a feeling out process against Texas. Like, those are the ones that we're going to remove from the grade sheet, I think, at the end of the day. And now we're going to – Ohio, I think, could probably be right there in the middle where it starts to be, this is what it's actually going to look like. But maybe we'll find out.
I am now excited for the Bobcats.
And Were you not before?
No, I am. Okay. I was. But, like, I think I'm excited to see what things look like. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's a good barometer. Use the word barometer twice. I don't actually know what a barometer does. I'm going to Google it after this. And you know my favorite part about the Bobcats?
You don't do the weather. You are the sportsman.
Yeah, yeah. You know when they're playing the game against OU?
Saturday night primetime under the lights.
At the end of the day.
Oh, wow. So you have all day.
I have all day. And then at the end of the day, things end.
Then they're going to play a game.
They'll play a game.
And then at the end of the game, we'll talk about it. Yeah. And maybe Adam will still be in the horseshoe to be on the notebook. And maybe we can do some... Did we tease the Sunday show last week?
We have teased the Sunday show is coming. I will say, and you and I talked about this, we didn't need second thoughts Sunday after a 7-0. We knew our thoughts. We were moving on.
We don't.
If we doesn't tease after OU, maybe we'd start Big Ten play.
Could just be for the Big Ten only.
Yes. Big Ten, second thoughts, second Sunday, whatever. Oop, whatever I said there. Whatever that was.
Which, believe it or not, that Big Ten slate is coming very soon because Saturday is the last non-conference game of three. Mm-hmm. It's not as extensive as it used to be. Mm-hmm. We're paring it down a little bit. But either way, a meaningful game. We're excited, and it's only Tuesday. Ryan Day is going to preview it. You can catch that on 10 TV.
10 TV Plus.
10 TV Plus and 97.1 The Fan. On the radio, 97.1 The Fan. If you want to watch it, though, 10 TV and 10 TV Plus will have you covered there. And if you're watching this, this is on 97.1 The Fan's YouTube channel. We appreciate you. 10 TV's YouTube channel. 10 TV Plus.
And make sure you comment and tell us how bad of a job I do.
You can like and subscribe as well. We greatly appreciate that. And if you don't like looking at this beautiful head of hair and you're listening audio only, just, you know, occasionally dabble in there and then drop a comment.
Just imagine Rick Astley. Uh-huh. That's what I always, you think I look like, never gonna give you up?
I mean, better.
Thank you. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you.
Okay, yeah, you can't do 15 seconds, we'll get a copyright.
I was gonna play us out. I thought you were gonna say goodbye. I thought we were just gonna have a little.
I wanted to.
What does it mean to play us out?
I wanted to get a couple lines just to see how far you would go with it. Now I know that there is no limit. He would have kept singing that entire song.
We'd have been here all day.
And we would have got a copyright strike, but we don't want that. Not on a Talking Tuesday on the beat on the Austin and Burnham Show. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you.
To 10 TV's Adam King. I am merely Austin Ward. We will catch you later for some snap judgments at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center after Ryan Day's press conference. We'll see you there.
Ice Cube's Big 3 is back. The most competitive basketball league on earth is on CBS this Saturday. Big 3 All-Star Dwight Howard and the LA Riot take on Greg Monroe and the Dallas Power. Then in another clash of undefeated teams, Earl Clark and Coach Steven Jackson lead the DMV Trilogy against Montrezl Harrell, Coach Dr. J, and the Chicago Triplets. The game played the way you love. Watch live Saturday on CBS at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and catch replays Monday on BET. Presented by iHeart. Yay, yay, yay.